The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. We get tweets. We have a pro tip to get to, too. We get tweets, though, still coming in on the Thanksgiving stuff. First of all, Logic3227, what's going on with the Megapod this week? Good question. Beating the book of Megapod a day early this week. Tomorrow we will record it after a numbers game. Special guest with Jeff Parles, Todd Wishnev, and I. Vegas runner. Ace, upon whose shoulders that show was built.
Nice.
He's joining us for his annual appearance on the show. Stephen Vegas, only thing that can go in stuffing without ruining it, sausage. I wouldn't mind sausage in the stuffing.
That's another one I would try.
Nick Lambert, here's the real question. Green bean casserole, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Meh.
Down. Lone scum. I once was on a crew filming in a butterball turkey processing plant. Never bought one since. Over the levee. It's stuffing if it's stuffed inside the turkey. It's dressing when it never touches the inside or the turkey. Dressing's more popular in the South, and it's by far the star of the show. He's right about that. That's a regional thing.
Yes. Isaiah gave me a lecture.
Dressing is all about the South.
Well, yeah.
Kenny G, morning, Gil and Kelly. In our house, we start with a nice lasagna, then the turkey with stuffing. Have a great Thanksgiving. Wow, lasagna
first.
Wow,
that's aggressive.
I'm coming over to your house.
That sounds good.
John Balduzzi. This legitimately was from a 30-second exchange we had at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you hate turkey, and therefore America, and I love it.
That part after the therefore is very odd. Came up with that. John Balduzzi went to my kid's class to read a book for his birthday. Happy birthday, your child. A Thanksgiving conversation ensued. I asked the kids about raisins and stuffing. Their scientific and analytical response, ew.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing changes. Nothing changes when, you know, 20 years from those, when those kids grow up. Still gross.
Corbin, I think the best part of guessing lines with Kelly is him breaking down the lines, giving reasoning for the picks, and Gil looking like a dad seeing his son ride a bike for the first time, giving me big, proud dad vibes on the show. It's very true. And then this is from Dukes in the PNW. Like you guys, I always get confused by these college names such as Incarnate Word and Oral Roberts. But Incarnate has some ballers as their quarterback, Cam Ward. Yes, transferred to Wazoo and brought along the OC to Pullman, the offensive coordinator. Cougs money line in the Apple Cup, he says as well.
Obviously, right. I knew that already.
All right.
You don't need to tell me that.
We have a pro tip for the hour. We missed one last hour. The pro tip of the hour last hour is if you believe the NFL playoff picture to be as clear as I do, maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you do, that should inform your bets in the weeks to come, specifically in the yes-no playoff markets. Some opportunities to be had. Giants, no, perhaps, in plus money still. Commanders, yes, in plus money, perhaps. It's your pro tip of the hour. Searchable on VSiN.com. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Let's talk a little college basketball. He's one of the three-man weave crew. He's the one that went to Mizzou. I think he's the only one of the three that went to Mizzou. It's Jim Root, everybody. How you doing, Jim?
I'm great. Actually, Kai went there, too. So there are two Mizzou guys, and then Matt's an IU Indiana grad.
I see. Do you look down on him? Do you haze him
about that? Yeah, constantly. Yeah. Constantly. And he pretends to be a Duke fan. It's disgusting. I'm surprised you guys didn't split Mizzou, Arkansas into the Guess the Lions because I'm coming on. But that's okay. I'll get over it.
What do you think about that game? What do you think about it? You got a shot?
Got a shot, needed for a bowl eligibility, but I'm not betting it. That's what I'll say.
Let me ask you about something. So college basketball, you know, betting college football, betting the NFL all weekend long. But then Sunday night, Gonzaga was taking on Kentucky, sort of like under the radar. Hey, this is also happening kind of thing. Gonzaga was coming off just a beatdown at the hands of Texas. Texas rolled them. And so I came on here the next morning. I'm like, well, just your friendly reminder that Gonzaga might, you know, be the same thing that we always thought they were. Is they feast on West Coast Conference competition, and then when it comes down to it, they lose in the end, which is kind of unfair because they've gotten a 2 championship games. So I get it. On the other hand, it was just something I wanted to point out. Then they go and they play Kentucky, and the thought here was, okay, let's see how they react. And then from a betting standpoint, it was like, okay, the number's 155.5. And what we were thinking was, and to give all credit to Todd Wishnam on this, that number might not be high enough. And sure enough, it wasn't in the end. And that's with Kentucky shooting like 4 for 22 at one point, 25% in the first half, and it still got over. And I guess it's multiple questions. One, where do you stand on Gonzaga? And are they a kind of overish team at this point?
I'm still fairly high on Gonzaga. It, for them, I think this year's version, it's a lot more about their dance partner and who they're playing. When they play a team like Texas that slows it down, forces them to execute in the half court, they're not quite there yet. They don't have the point guard that creates in the ball screens that they had last year with Andrew Nembhard. But against Kentucky, a team that's really willing to run, then I think they are formidable, as we saw in that game. And also, like you're alluding to, an over team, because they want to get up and down. They want to pinball. They want to get early shots to where the possessions are quick and they can kind of overwhelm teams with their amount of offensive weaponry. But if they have to slog it out a little bit more, like they kind of had to do on the carrier against Michigan State as well, they're not quite the same team yet. And so they don't have maybe as high a floor as last year, where they were awesome all the time with Holmgren swatting shots. This year, there's a little more erratic variance to their outcomes. I think it's more about who they're playing. You want to get a team that will run with them. That's when you want to bet Gonzaga in the over.
Interesting. Okay, that makes sense. Do you agree that Houston ought to be the short shot right now to win the whole thing this year?
I do. I had them number one coming into the year. There's just not a lot of weaknesses. I think if there is one, we saw it a little bit against Oregon, where their bigs are like 6'7", 6'8", Houston's are. They're not that tall. And so if they go against length like Oregon had, then they struggle to finish inside. Fortunately, their defense is so good and they knock down shots, they were able to cover on the road anyways. But it is something I'm keeping an eye on as we go into maybe some of league play and then into the postseason against the cream of the crop competition. That could be a small flaw, but they're still the best team for me.
Okay. Before we get into your picks for today, Kelly, mark it down on your bingo card right here. Pepperdine reference coming. Pepperdine takes on UCLA tomorrow. We don't have a line yet. I don't believe we do. Day before. Eve of Thanksgiving. What's the number where you're going to throw your entire bank account onto Pepperdine for this?
Let's see. I'll pull up exactly what I would make it right now. Assuming full health for both teams, I'd have UCLA about a 17-point favorite at home.
17. So if you give me that.
Yeah, you give me over that, somewhere up close to 20. That talent on Pepperdine is ridiculous. The kind of team that plays up to competition, I think. And so you put them in a Pauley Pavilion with UCLA where they're seeing the bright lights. Like, I think those guys can play up and compete with UCLA, who is, of course, coming off two losses in Vegas.
Didn't they play, I'm just curious, didn't they play Gonzaga well last year? I'm just sort of trying to, off memory. I want to say they did.
I think in one of the games. Because they're a team that will run, and so last year I think one of the times they got run out. I'm looking up at the results last year. Yeah, well, first matchup they had a 90 possession game that they lost 117-83. So that's what can happen. But I think this year they're a little more mature. They're all sophomores. I think they're going to be a little more competitive this time around.
And by sophomores, he means three really good guards who were all conference last year. Okay, I will be making that. I will be very much looking forward to see what that number is tomorrow in that one. What do you got today?
Today, I'm going to I'm not quite extra bored yet. I'll give you one Maui game I'm very into, and this one has flipped. 6:57 on the board, Creighton. They were a two-point dog. Now they're -1.5, -2. I still like them. I think they're somebody that coming into the year, I was a little lower than consensus rankings. Like, people had them top five. I wasn't quite there. But computer systems had them 25 to 30, and I thought that was too low. So they're a little more undervalued per betting markets compared to human rankings. Now they're taking on an Arkansas team that hasn't looked that sharp yet, and they don't have Nick Smith Jr., who is the top three pick. He's still dealing with a knee injury. We don't know what his deal is. I think Creighton's a little closer to a finished product right now. I like them as a little short favorite there in Maui.
Did Arkansas just crushed Louisville? Is that what I just saw? Arkansas just destroying them? Yeah.
It took them a while, and everyone should crush Louisville this
everyone
year.
Should so crush
not,
Louisville.
Not super that. Not super impressive.
Okay.
I got a second one for you.
Please.
If you want.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. All right. 6-6-7 on the board. Northwestern taking on Liberty. I'm taking the Flames +3 here as a dog. I think they're the type of team that can really compete with power conference competition. They slow games down, they try to shorten it and take a bunch of threes. A lot of variance in their outcomes because of that. And that's good against Northwestern, who is one of the least talented Power Conference teams. That might be kind of harsh, but I have them ranked fairly lowly. They've got a couple solid guards, but they're lacking in the paint. They're not going to punish Liberty with size. I think the Flames are an equal to Northwestern here, so on a neutral floor, I make this a pick. I'll take the 3 points and cheer for the Flames here.
We have a third to round it out?
Oh, of course. I'll reach down into the extra board for you.
Sure.
Why wouldn't I?
Please.
306-578 on the betting board. UTEP, they're laying points here, -5.5. Alcorn has been really, really feisty this year, so they've taken money. This one is anti-market. I'll be very transparent about that. But I think this UTEP team is really, really solid. They changed out about 11 scholarship players this offseason, really dipped into the portal. This team fits what Joe Golding wants to do. For those who remember Joe Golding back at Abilene Christian, they knocked off Texas as a 14 seed. I think this year's team is a lot more capable of playing that style. They're really frenetic defensively with pressure, and they have a little bit more of scoring juice offensively this year, too. So UTEP laying about 5.5. I think that's a good bet there.
All right, in 20 seconds, let's do a little, since you got into Mizzou, let's do a little college entrance exam format. Gil is to Pepperdine as Jim Root is to, what's the school that you're way high on above the market?
It's probably Cal State Northridge this year. We're going to stay out in the LA area with you, with Pepperdine.
Nice.
And this has been anti-market too, every time the opponent gets bet. But I've been betting the Matadors and they've been covering.
Cal State Northridge. You like that, Kelly?
Ew, I do. You got to like the Cal State Northridge Long Beach. If you're going after one of those schools, love it.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving, Gil.
Jim Root, everybody, at Second Chance Points with the number 2 in Second Chance Points and at 3MW_CBB for three-man weave. We'll come back. Pete Futak and I on college football. Let the fireworks begin next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You don't have to wait until after Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. With VSiN Pro Access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports. Plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store, a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer. No sign up now for the, or go sign up now, I should say. At the perfect sports betting holiday gift, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's where you'll find it. Kelly, you have a life plan for us?
Yeah, a new life plan for us.
What's
I was
that?
Researching this while you were talking to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pepperdine has a screen arts major, okay, talking about TV and radio.
Sure.
You and I move out to Malibu, split a bachelor pad out in Malibu, and then we're teachers there while we do a numbers game every morning.
From Malibu.
Yes.
Done.
Figured it all out. Finally going to go to school at Pepperdine.
There it is. Phenomenal. Every time you, if you're ever on the Pacific Coast Highway, you just go by Pepper, you're like, why didn't I go to school
you
here?
You drive by it and you're like, why? Well, this looks amazing. This is glorious. Human beings get to go to school here?
Dude, who am I kidding? I would flunk out the first semester.
Yeah.
I would just not pay attention.
I mean, I almost did that at Florida State.
That's what
though,
I mean.
So
I almost did it at, in,
what's the difference?
In the northeast part of this country, right? So why would I not do that there? It's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, we almost came to fisticuffs last week when we talked college football. Let's see if that happens today. It's Pete Futak from College Football News. How you doing, Peter?
With me? How did I make a Gil Alexander angry? You're going to go teach a Pepperdine now. What's wrong with your world?
That's right. It's a good point. Everything's roses now. So let me ask you this. So last week I said to you, and by the way, the fourth of the six college football rankings shows tonight, only the sixth one matters. But the fourth one is tonight. And last week on the show, I said to you, I was like, okay, work with me here. Last week I said, if TCU loses a regular season game, almost did, got there, though, against Baylor last week with the last-second scramble field goal. But I said, if TCU loses a regular season game but wins the Big 12 championship and three other things happen, Michigan loses to Ohio State, USC loses at some point, and the third one was, what was the third one?
Clemson? Oh,
that LSU does not win the SEC.
Okay.
If those three things happen, shouldn't TCU make the playoff anyway? And, you know, you got all, you know, Big Five snobby with me, and that was the whole thing. And so I just want to sort of update that.
Didn't
this
I say yes?
I don't know if you did or not. I'm just messing with you.
I would have said yes.
Okay. Now you say yes. But I'm going to step it up now here this week. What if TCU actually doesn't win the Big 12 championship? Let's say they win this week against Iowa State. They're almost a double-digit favorite. And then they lose the Big 12 championship to Kansas State. But now with Tennessee out of the picture, the same three things. USC loses either to Notre Dame or in the Pac-12 championship. Michigan loses to Ohio State, let's say. And LSU does not win the SEC championship, right? Or they lose this week. Either one of those two things. At that point, shouldn't TCU still make the Final Four?
TCU being knocked out, I'm sorry, Tennessee being knocked out, I think is probably the key to this. And I'm trying to recall our argument, but I would have probably said that, yeah, it would have been a fight between Tennessee and TCU to get in. But again, until the college football playoff committee decides that it doesn't take 12-1 Power 5 conference champs, then, but in your scenario, you're saying, like, let's say they beat Iowa State and then they lose the Big 12 championship. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And so, okay. So Ohio State and Georgia end up undefeated, right?
Okay.
Let's say Clemson gets in as a one-loss ACC champ.
And USC's knocked out.
And USC and LSU and Michigan will have lost. That would come down to a TCU versus Michigan debate, right? And doesn't TCU win then?
Oh, easily. Yeah. That scenario, there's no question. Because Michigan doesn't have any wins. I mean, you look at their non-conference schedule. I always preach that you're crazy if you're a Power 5 conference team and you play a schedule that's not UConn, Hawaii and Colorado State. But this is where it comes back to bite them, because in the flip scenario where I still don't think Ohio State – I think Ohio State has to win no matter what. But even if Ohio State loses, for example, it can have the argument, hey, we beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame trucked Clemson. Maybe in that sort of a scenario, the committee decides, you know what, Ohio State's still better. But in your scenario, yeah, because there's nobody else. Because, again, until the committee decides against going against 12-1 Power 5 conference champions, it's only happened once. And as I keep preaching, as 2018, it's because there were three other options and Notre Dame went 12-0. They're going to take the 12-1 Power 5 conference champ. So TCU is included in this mix, absolutely, at this point. Because, again, Tennessee getting knocked out really helps everyone. In the pecking order of things, the SEC champion is the first in the pecking order. Big Ten champions, the second in this current pecking order. And if USC wins out and it's 12-1 Pac-12 championship, no way, no how, no chance it's left out of the college football playoff. Right. And then it comes down to the Clemson versus TCU debate in your scenario.
Let's talk about the Heisman. People are betting on the Heisman. Caleb Williams right now, 3,480 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, 3 picks, 316 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns on the ground. He, by stats, ought at this moment to win the Heisman, if the Heisman was being voted on right at this moment. C.J. Stroud, behind him in yards by about 500 yards passing, but still 35 touchdowns, 4 picks. Only 77 rushing yards, no touchdowns, so not really a ground number there for him either way. Max Duggan, 2858, 26 touchdowns, 3 picks, 5 touchdowns on the ground, 291 rushing yards. If USC loses, and let's say Ohio State loses to Michigan, Corum is hurt. We'll see what he can do. Obviously, now we have the horrible injury to Hendon Hooker with the ACL. What a way for Tennessee to finish their season.
Yeah.
I mean, who wins the Heisman if USC loses and Ohio State loses? Do they still give it to one of those two guys?
Reggie Bush? I mean, at that point...
Reggie Bush. Here, you've lost something, Reggie.
Exactly. Well, at that point, it's not a crazy scenario. So, let's talk about this, like, who are you betting on for the future? So, it is down to Williams and Stroud, because it does come down to who comes through in the biggest moments. And at the very least, they both have their shot. Because remember, it's not about what we think. It's about not about who the best player really is. It's about who comes through when everyone's watching and is like, yeah, that's kind of the guy. And Caleb Williams, for the first time, everyone's up. Now, for stats-wise, it's a little bit unfair, mainly because Ohio State was blowing away so many teams that they didn't have to come back like USC always had to do because the defense was so bad. And you had the wind game against Northwestern when it was 50-mile-an-hour winds, and I think Ohio State threw for 50 yards. But Stroud ran well in that game and carried them in that. But that doesn't matter. It really comes down to, okay, Caleb Williams, does he rock against Notre Dame when everyone's watching? Does he rock in the Pac-12 championship when everyone's watching? If so, he's right there. If C.J. Stroud throws for 5 touchdown passes and 400 yards against Michigan, he's right there. But in your scenario, if it's not those two, All right, because does America know who Max Duggan is? That's kind of the problem, because this is a beauty contest.
He at least gets invited to New York at that point, right?
Yeah, at that point, definitely.
Like, I mean, undefeated, all these other guys.
He's invited to New York at that point. Like, there's nobody else. this becomes the worst Heisman race ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's kind of a free-for-all in that scenario. Let me get to some games, because we have tons of games to get to here. Let's start with the Egg Bowl. On Thursday, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. What do you got in this ball game?
One of my favorite picks of the week. It's going to be close. It might even be the three if it's a 2.5, if that's where you're seeing it. But Ole Miss just at home has the style, has the ability, has the running game, and Mississippi State's just sort of struggling a little bit, way too inconsistent moving the ball. Everything points to Ole Miss in this.
All right. This one's for Kelly. What about Florida and Florida State? Florida State, who, by the way, Dr. Bob again earlier, or I should say a week ago, came on this show. He said it has them as the 6th ranked team in all of college football based on his metrics. Florida State, 9.5 point favorites.
They're good. They're not the 6th best team in the country. But you know what? Here's where this gets funky is that rivalry games always become weird. Florida gets off that Vanderbilt loss. So everyone's going to say, oh, well, they stink and they're bad. Florida's got a lot more talent in certain areas. They don't have a defense that can stop anybody on third downs. It's going to be a shootout. Love the over. And just Florida, just because that's a lot of points to be given away to a Gator team that's got a good quarterback that could make this a wild and crazy game. So Florida State is good, but that's a lot of points to be given away to the Gators.
All right, rapid fire, Pedro. Michigan, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Laying the 7.5. You're laying the points.
Yeah, this is the game that they've been waiting for all year. When they get something in their brain, then this is where it all kicks in. Don't worry about the Maryland game of last week. Skill positions are a problem for both teams, but C.J. Stroud's going to outplay J.J. McCarthy. Just Ohio State.
By the way, the home cooking calls at the end of that Michigan-Illinois game were shameful. That was shameful, dude.
There was some bad stuff happening in that game all the way around. But, yeah, Illinois was my pick to win outright last week. So
Iron Bowl.
At least he covered.
Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama. Alabama favored by 21.5.
Alabama, big game. You know, this is going to be their Super Bowl for them. They're going to try, and then everyone's going to leave and go to the NFL draft. So Auburn in this. Alabama in this. Alabama.
How about with implications? LSU, Texas A&M. LSU favored by, 8.5? What are we showing now?
Yeah, 9.5. Real quick, I'll stay away as much as possible because this is Texas A&M's bowl game. This is everything. They got nothing else after this. I think they play this thing tough, and I think they cover the spread against LSU, but I'm going to pick Texas A&M every game this year, and they've always screwed me over.
Notre Dame, USC.
USC. Get on my party bus. I've been on since April. They're going to the college football playoff.
Laying the 5.5. Boy, Pete, you are a Power 5 snob to the hilt. I will tell you that.
Notre Dame's not a little.
No, I know, but I'm just saying you're also a favorite. You're that on top of your layers on top of Power 5. Power 5 plus the favorites. Yes.
This week I am the favorite.
Part of your charm, Pedro.
Except Florida State.
Got to run. Pete Futak, FIUTAK College Football News. We'll come back. I got a rant next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, that is, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. That's how Michael Gaughan meant to pronounce it back in the day. Tip of the strip, meaning if you go past Mandalay Bay due south.
About 5 miles.
Yeah, you know, like, 17 drivers.
Yeah, you could.
You'll get there.
Hit the Smith's, the grocery store on the way down here if you need to. Maybe stop by the outlet malls.
The Boot Barn.
Yeah. Boot Barn's on the way. Get ready for the rodeo coming to town.
Sure.
And then you hit the South Point. You're ready to go.
You ready for Bet's Giving?
Well, I'm ready.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in case you missed this, this is the second time we have done an internal betting contest here at VSiN. We did one this summer, and the boys that follow the money, Mitch and Paul, they won snaking a baseball bet in on the last day to win that one. They got themselves a trophy. Now we're doing a 5-day thing, the winner of which will get a belt, a championship belt sanctioned by not only the WBC, but also by the WBA and the IBF, all three sanctioning bodies. No trophy. The belt. Can we show that belt, by the way, again? This is a handsome-looking belt. Look at that thing. The betting champion of BetsGiving, which is not only the champion of BetsGiving, but is crowned the greatest bettors who've ever walked the face of the earth, I believe.
It's like Wyatt Tomchek's salary in there. It's real gold.
Follow the money. It has been installed by Circa as the short shot at 7-1. We're the second short shot at plus 950, and I'm told there are other people on this list that are very angry about where they've been slotted.
No, not at all. Everybody took it very cool, calm, collected, and said, hey, this is for fun, Gil. Let's not overreact.
That's not what I heard. By the way, this is all lines from DraftKings, all bets based on a hypothetical $100. It's a five-day thing. Starting on Thursday, betting any of the three NFL games. Then Friday, USA, England, any available market that we want to bet there.
Over corner kicks.
Kelly making executive decisions again. Saturday, any of the three rivalry games that were identified, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn, USC, Notre Dame. Then Sunday, three NFL bets, one side, one total, one money line. And then it wraps up Monday night with the Indianapolis-Pittsburgh game, one side and one prop. After all that, we'll see who the champ is.
You know, there's a couple ways we could play this, Gil.
How that is.
We could play college football based off of my guessing lines, and then that's really extra embarrassment if they lose.
Let's not do that.
Not a good idea. You don't like that?
I'm trying to win this.
Trying to win it? Yeah, but if we win it that way, it really rubs it in.
It's like when we talk about it, I'm like, I'm trying to win this. And then before, when people remind me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. We got to do this. No, we're excited about
how are we
going to
share custody of the belt? We really got to talk that. Because need it for Saturday nights.
All your Saturday nights. You're going to walk around town with
Nothing attracts the ladies like having a BetsGiving championship.
Ladies, if you met my friend Kelly Bidlick, champion of BetsGiving. What's BetsGiving? Oh, let me sit down and relax. Let me tell you a story. Just pull them in. So we're looking forward to that Thursday through Monday throughout the network. Some folks taking it very seriously and very angry with their, I don't know, let's specifically say 15-1 odds. Just to make it specific.
It is. It's a rigid structure of games and picks that we have to do each day. So it's not going into everybody's expertise.
Let me just tell you what happened the first time around. It was baseball. It was all baseball, if I recall. Was it all baseball?
Yeah.
Yes, it was all baseball. I didn't care, right? First day, second day. By the end of it, I'm like, I'm winning this thing.
Because you're in it.
Oh, yeah. I'm winning this thing. Didn't it work out, but you know what I mean.
If we're taking it for
this is a belt
fun,
on the line.
This is a fun inner network competition. Then you kind of shouldn't care that much for the first couple days. But if you're live at the end, it gets real.
All right. I wanted to make this point yesterday, but we did guessing lines yesterday, so we talk only about pro football. But it's worth, I think, if you're going to pay attention to anything on this show today, this is sort of. And if you're new to the show or new to the network, this is something we try to bring up, or I try to bring up through the years on A Numbers Game, which is to say that betting and sports betting specifically, there's so many ways to skin the cat. And so if you're new to this racket, as VR likes to say, or newish to it, it's worth a reminder every once in a while that is really the case. And so what you will get with sports betting, and specifically with sports betting media often is, you will get one person or one group's view of how the world works in sports betting. And what we've tried to sort of thrust here on this show through the years is let's be humble in that viewpoint of things. So in other words, you have the most numbers-driven people on one side of the spectrum, on one end of the spectrum in terms of how they bet sports. I believe that if you don't have any numbers working for you in sports betting, you're probably doing it suboptimally. So, you know, I'll use my buddy Rufus Peabody. Everything is done by metrics. It has served him very well. He's one of the most successful sports bettors of this generation. On the opposite side of the spectrum, it's smoke and mirrors. People have their own, if you come out of the mountain time zone and you play, in the Pacific time zone on a Thursday night, this is what happens. There's a whole spectrum in between. And if I've learned anything through the years of sports betting, you shouldn't be completely just staunch in your belief that your way is the only way. And within that, a cousin of that is there are so many different ways to make money in sports betting. So in tennis, for instance, I do everything based on data. That's one sport. That's how I attack that specific sport. Works for me very well in that sport. But in other sort of endeavors, like the NFL draft, We talked with Crack about this in another realm the other week as well. Information is what will win you sports bets. The point is you have to be nimble. You have to be able to recognize when opportunities present themselves. Some things are going to be data-driven pre-flop. Other things are going to be information-driven. Another thing, and this is what I really wanted to get to, is you really have to be aware and present for really exploitive in-game lines or in-game numbers that you can exploit. Let's call them, in this particular case, we'll call it algorithmic exploitation to give it a fancy name. And what I'm referring to is, let's go to the South Carolina game this past weekend. South Carolina against Tennessee. Tennessee was a 22.5-point pre-flop favorite in that game. It was very apparent from the beginning that South Carolina could move the ball at will on Tennessee. Spencer Rattler was having the game of his life. And they went out, South Carolina did, to a 14-0 lead. Now, I didn't jump in at that point because I was doing something. I wasn't completely present where I was like, hey, let me jump in on a bet here. But when they went up 21-7, I was. And I thought to myself at that moment, let me jump in and bet South Carolina with a 2-touchdown lead. I wonder what this number will be. And for a moment, I forgot that the preflop was 22.5. So I'm thinking in my head, this is what it ought to be. Then I see that at that point, South Carolina is still a 5.5-point dog, and they're still getting north of $2 on the money line, up 2 touchdowns. We're still in the first half. And then you quickly remember, oh, yeah, because the preflop was 22.5. So everything in-game is derivative. Everything is based on the algorithm, derivative from the preflop.
Second quarter we were into?
I believe it was second quarter. So 21-7. I grabbed South Carolina at plus 215. Certainly not the only one who did this. Then I grabbed them plus 203, still up 21-7 when Tennessee had fourth and goal at the South Carolina 3-yard line, figuring there was a one play 50-50 thing whether they converted there or not. By the way, they did. Hooker to Tillman to cut it 21-14. South Carolina went back up 28-14. I bet South Carolina again, plus 162. Then when Tennessee was held to a field goal 28-17, then I bet South Carolina on the game spread plus 3.5. And then, by the way, I had to go do something with my life, which, by the way, I regret because I probably would have kept betting South Carolina. The point is, of all of this, as sports bettors, what we do here and what all sports betting media does is, because we're on the air for 2 hours static every day, so by nature of the construct of this content, we have to talk about pre-flop numbers on any varying sport. Typically, we're not watching Mexico play Poland and giving thoughts on a game like this, because it's not really going on usually doing the show. By the way, I have no thoughts on Mexico-Poland, in case you were wondering, nil-nil. But that's just the point I want to get across, is a friendly reminder, which I think is worthwhile, that we do this every once in a while, to say that there are so many ways to skin this cat. And so the construct of ATS preflop sports betting, if you only did that, you're probably not going to be a winning sports bettor. Only the very elite are going to be able to win that way. And I mean a very small sliver. The more nimble you are, the more you are able to exploit and recognize in-game opportunities, be present for them, exploit those, exploit information-based handicapping, the better off you will be in this long term. Just a friendly reminder. Just want to spend 5 minutes saying that, because that was such a stark example of that in that Tennessee-South Carolina game, where you were like, oh, 22.5-point dog, up 2 touchdowns, moving at will? Are you kidding me? Keep betting.
I think there's a couple other things to keep in mind, especially if we're talking algorithm-based live betting, right? Hendon Hooker leaves that game at the end. Now, maybe not the best example of when to jump in on a bet, but a lot of times these algorithms are not taking into account injuries that happen in the process of a game. Those are usually more the books that are doing live betting by person. So that is something to keep in mind, too. If you see an injury early in a game, oftentimes that number won't properly adjust to what the injury is. That's an opportunity to jump in live on the other side.
Yeah, and I wish we were on air at every moment of every game where we could talk about it while it's happening. It's just not the nature, obviously, of this. But South Carolina 63, Tennessee 38. Might it have lost and not worked out? Sure. But the more you put yourself in those positions, the better off you'll be. Coming back, JBT on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, You can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. We welcome in Jonathan Von Tobel, ladies and gentlemen, also not only the senior NBA analyst, I should say, here at VSiN, but also the host of Hardwood Handicappers podcast, wherever podcasts are available and distributed, wherever you get your podcast from, with special co-host Kelly Bidlin once a week. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JVT?
Good morning, guys. Just watching some soccer, or as the world calls it, football, right? Mexico, Poland. So it's a good morning so far.
All right, do you have a bet on this?
No, just a rooting interest. My wife and her family are from the country of Mexico. My grandmother as well. So just, you know, rooting for Mexico and seeing, hopefully, that they can at least get a win here and get some 3 points.
All right. How do you feel about your shot in Betsgiving, John? Are you looking forward to that?
Apparently, I am like third in the odds.
Yeah, 11
to 1.
Shots. Respect in the market.
Yeah, I was very humbled by that. I was very surprised. I think this is fun. I like these sort of things. If I were to, John Goulet will love this. I would love to be able to bet more, like, right, if we were behind or something like that and put a little bit more gamesmanship into it. But I do like, as you know, a media kind of deal, bringing the whole network together and getting us involved in something like this, I do think is a lot of fun. And I'm very much looking forward to pushing the rules as much as I can, much like Matt Humans and I tried to do last time we did this.
Oh, yeah. What was before we get to your NBA thoughts, what were the shenanigans you pulled last time, or you guys tried to?
So the last bet, we were down, and the last bet was a prop. So we bet a prop, but it was a series prop. It was right. There was that Blue Jays Royal series where I think it was like every Royal was like on the COVID list. So we bet the Blue Jays to win the series in like 4-0. It was like a 4-game set.
But it was a series prop.
The point was that it would only be graded like 4 days after after the contest.
Right.
Oh man, shenanigans! Looking forward to that. JBT, who is the market? What team is the market sort of chronically over or undervaluing as you see it on a nightly basis in the NBA?
Let's see. You know, it's great. We actually have things we can track this. So if you want a team that is being chronically overvalued, the Golden State Warriors are failing to cover by about 6.4 points per game at this point. That is the worst in the NBA season so far by a mile. The second worst team are the Minnesota Timberwolves at 4.8 points per game, being failing to cover those numbers. So, you know, Gil, it's Golden State, and you kind of get it, right? Like, I mean, when you watch this team, especially some of these home performances, you're like, hey, you know, you see these glimpses, this team kind of still has it with their starting lineup. And last night, kind of an aberration because, of course, they go rest everybody and they're 11-point underdogs. But I just think when you look at Golden State, like, it is hard to, for lack of a better term, quit a team like that, because you do see at moments that this team does have something. But on the road, it's weird, man, right? The Houston Rockets the other night, you barely beat them by three. They only have, their one win on the road so far. This has kind of been that team, but that has been a team that you point at specifically that has been very overvalued by the betting market because they're the Warriors and the market just doesn't want to quit them.
So is the takeaway there proceed with caution, because they did have the flare-up, right, where Clay specifically had the flare-up with 41, and you just – You're reticent to go against them, though, aren't you? Like, you don't want to get in front of that either.
Oh, of course. Well, because here's the thing, too, Gil, because you talk about, like, a flare-up. Like, one of the things that has been shocking, their offense has been fine. It's their defense. Like, their defense has not been good. If we're looking at it right now from a league standpoint, right now in terms of defensive efficiency, they're 23rd in non-garbage time. They are second to last in opponent free throw rate. They are fouling like crazy. Those are not characteristics of a Warriors team that we know under Steve Kerr. And so I think that's why you're sitting there going, I don't know, because this is a team that's been together, right? And they could kind of get it together at any moment. We call it flipping the switch. But I think that is why. Like, you're right. Like, I would just tread with caution. Maybe you want to look at them in home spots, but again, that's factored into the number, so you're not really getting much value there. I would say, yes, it's either tread with caution. You don't want to necessarily go against them in every spot, because this is a team that will figure it out at any given night. But I just think that this is one where you're kind of scratching them off relatively early until you see a real market adjustment, right? Unless they're taking on Houston and they're only like 6.5-point favorites on the road, and that spot they actually closed 10 the other night. Until you see something like that, I think you just got to stay away.
Let me ask a different way. Besides the Celtics and Bucks, who are 13-4 and 12-4 respectively. Who do you trust in the NBA right now?
Okay, I got a weird answer here, and because they're starting to get a little bit different, and trust is not it, because, I mean, you got to earn trust. But I will say, the last 2 weeks, the fourth best team in terms of at least cover per game, they're 5-2, they're covering the games by about 8.2 points per game. The Los Angeles Clippers are starting to kind of round to form here a little bit. They are the second best defensive team in the NBA, and they are getting closer and closer to the best team, and that would be the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you adjust for opponent, it is the Clippers who are the best defensive team in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard is finally back, although then, of course, they lose Paul George. But last night, you know, their offense against a lesser defensive opponent in the Utah Jazz, they score 121 points, have an offensive rating of over 1.2. They win and they cover despite the market moving against them. Trust is pretty strong, right? Because trust obviously would imply that you're, you know, consistently playing on them. But in the month of November, they have been very, very good, and they're starting to look like the team we expected them to be before the season started. I would definitely put the Clippers at the top of that list.
All right, who did you bet? Only four games tonight. Who did you bet so far?
So there's a lot of injuries and everything. I didn't bet from a side perspective, but I went to a player prop. Let's go to Brooklyn and Philadelphia. We talk about, like, kind of quietly rounding into form. I hate to say it. It's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons.
We went there.
Wow.
Yep.
Ben Simmons revenge game.
Well, I don't know about the revenge game because, right, nobody's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. But if you guys look, the last three games, right, him for points, rebounds, and assists, he's averaging pretty much 30 at this point right now. He has scored in double digits in three straight games. And his last two in terms of points, rebounds, and assists, well, I think it's about 35 or so for each of those games. Simmons is starting to look more comfortable. And the best part is, guys, his fouls are down. He's starting to defend a little bit better. He's not fouling out of games, so he's playing 32, 35 minutes per game. You could still get points, rebounds, and assists at about 21.5, which is a relatively low number for a guy like him who can surpass those numbers. I think Ben Simmons, this is just one of those things where I kind of want to get in before the market adjusts. I think Simmons is starting to look more comfortable, and I think that maybe this is against a lesser opponent where there's no real stopper for him either, that this is one of those we're going to get in on a low number and bet that over because he is starting to play some pretty good basketball for Brooklyn.
All right, which begs the question then, now that Kyrie is back and he's agreed to light the candles every Friday night and go to Shul. That's a joke for a certain segment of the audience. What do you think about them long term? Like, I mean, what is your, where do you land on them at this point? It's the never ending soap opera. I mean, what do you really think they're capable of?
I think they're capable of a top six seed in the Eastern Conference. I don't think that I'm not sure if I'm going there for a title thing, but there are things I think you do like about them, right? Jacques Vaughn, I think, is a really good head coach. I think you've seen them steadily improve since he has taken over as head coach from Steve Nash, right? They're winning games, they're above 500, they're covering numbers, you know, talking again about from a market standpoint, 4-2 in their last six games, covering by an average margin of 3.7 points per game. So they're actually taking care of bettors at the windows as well lately. They're getting a little bit better defensively. And now with Kyrie Irving back, and if this is real with Ben Simmons, well, now all of a sudden you look at the Brooklyn Nets, it's like, that's a competent top six team in the Eastern Conference. You're never going to trust them, right, to go back to your original question about things you trust. But, like, if these things are true, right, if Ben Simmons is starting to become old Ben Simmons to a certain extent, if Kyrie Irving is just kind of quiet, I guess we'll use, for lack of a better term, and just plays basketball moving forward, Kevin Durant's an MVP candidate very quietly, they're solidly a top six seed in the Eastern Conference. I don't think there's any doubt about that if they keep it together.
I just keep coming back to when you look at the, you know, what's going on. We're only about, what, 20% of the way into the season. But there are some teams like the Sixers. I get it. They've had injuries too. They're 500. You know, obviously the Lakers sub 500, but we're seeing a light from Anthony Davis now. The Warriors, who we already talked about. There's a lot of middling teams. The Nets being one of them, but also, you know, teams like the Heat, the Bulls. I'm not sure where you landed on them before the season. I know you were high on the Timberwolves. They're hovering around 500. So I guess of all of that middling group right now through 20% of the season, which is the one that you're, like, truly worried about?
I think so. If we're talking about that, I think it's Miami. Like, Miami, and look, they're super injured. You talked about, like, where you didn't know where I was preseason. I have an under on their win total. I bet the Hawks to win that division. I think this is, like, look, Jimmy Butler's missed time. Tyler Herro's missed time. Bam Adebayo's missed time. But even when those guys were out there, Gil, they were a lesser offensive team. Their bench is extremely thin. When you're talking about worried, I think Miami is going to be floating in that six range, maybe fighting for a play-in spot. This team is super thin, and even when they're fully healthy, there's not a lot of depth there. I think that's the team you're looking at that's respected by the market, by the way, and they're the worst cover team in the NBA, at least from an ATS standpoint. That's one I think that you're circling and going, I don't think this is getting much better for that team.
John, we appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck at Betsgiving, but not too much good luck, if you know what I mean.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Yeah, and you too.
JVT, at me, JVT, everybody. Host of Hardwood Handicappers. You're the host of that too, Kelly, sometimes, huh?
That's right. In late week edition, which there will not be one this week because of Thanksgiving.
Your pro tip of the hour. Just pregame betting limits your ways to win. Only pregame betting limits your ways to win. Make sure to look at different in-game opportunities and always think about different ways to attack certain side totals, props, how it might be best to bet. You got to be nimble as a bettor. Information-based bets, in-game, it's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. All available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.